Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
Leafs get it out in center to the line. Here's Plekanec. Scores! We're going to Boston, baby!
He's not a machine. He's a man.
There's only certain moments in your life that turn into memories. This is one of them right here tonight. Make it a great memory.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
Finally, we can treat a game like a game seven.
I got to tell you, I had a dream last night. This morning. I'm not feeling particularly well. And the only way I get over like illness is I try to sleep it off.
Oh, yeah.
So this morning I had this dream, and you ever have those dreams that are so real? I thought I was playing tonight against the Boston Bruins, and I was prepping for like Chara and Bergeron, and I'm like, I'm in the game. It's a huge game. And then I kind of opened up my eye and scratched my boiler, and I looked down, and I go, there is no way that you're playing anything. You're going to TSN today.
Yeah.
And that was the end of my dream.
So you don't know how it played out. You didn't
I
win
woke
the game,
up, and I'm like, I know that preparing. I'm not playing.
He was just mentally preparing.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was like getting all jacked up, and I'm like, this is cool. Like, this is a big game. And then I kind of scratch my boiler, and I open up my eye. I'm like, I'm not playing in it. Playing in the NHL. You're going right to TSN.
I have to be honest, though. Didn't one of our listeners send in, like, your stats in TD Garden? Sent mine in, which was, I think they were in. Consequential.
You had a shutout, though, I'm pretty sure.
I did, but that's the night I broke my sternum, actually. It was a rough night, but I mean, I did last the whole game. But yeah, like, O had like 19 points in 26 games. Plus 5, too.
Wow. We need you in Boston tonight.
There you go, the TD Garden.
19 points?
I had a shutout. That shutout, I do remember. We won 5-0. Like it was, but I made like 30 saves. Like I think it was like 30 or 35. But it was.
Stole the game.
I wouldn't say stole it, but I remember getting hit a couple times where I was like, no, that was a decent save.
We need you guys in Boston tonight.
No, I think Freddie will be the guy. I've continued to say that Freddie is the guy, and he has to be the guy tonight. Excitement? Where are you at, Hayes? Where's your...
I'm so fired up. I mean, I am... Tonight has the potential. It's going to be one of the most memorable evenings in Toronto sports history, or recent history anyway, regardless of how it all plays out.
Right.
Because of what is on the line tonight. Game 7, Maple Leafs, Bruins. Game 5, that's a pivotal game tonight between the Raptors and the Wizards. You got the Jays and the Sox, TFC down in Mexico tonight. You got 4 big games, and even the Marlies can close out their series. Right. They're playing tonight, although I have a feeling it's going to be tough to find a Marlies game on a screen in Toronto, with all due respect. But I am really, really amped up, man. I woke up this morning. I can't wait for these games. I'm nervous for Toronto sports fans. I am a Toronto sports fan. There's a part of me that doesn't want it to happen yet, just out of fear that it could be the end of the road. This could be the final game of the season.
Right.
But that's why you play the games, because it also could open a door to something that we have not experienced in 14 years. If they win tonight,
they're on
to the second round. And 25 years ago, Nikolai Borshevsky scored in overtime in Game 7. 25 years ago. And he's still a legend in Toronto. Like, his name rings out. And he was far down the list in terms of prominent players on that team. He was a good player.
It's a huge goal, though.
It was a massive goal.
That was like a Bobby Rouse tip from the point, or a shot from the point.
I'll throw a name out there. Stephane Matteau. That guy, decent career, right? But like for the Rangers, he scored a huge goal. Like, that's what teams remember, big goals. Like you say, Borchevsky. Like, that guy was... far down the list.
He was way down. I mean, that was Dougie's team, Wendell's team, Andrew Chuck.
You remember pivotal goals in series, or game-winning goals, and you're right. It goes through. And I don't know if the word legend comes in. It's more about just, I mean, moment. Legendary moment.
Well, that's what I'm
saying.
That's
probably what
it is.
And
when you think about the Leafs, because they're the ones playing in Game 7 tonight,
you have an opportunity to be legendary. How legendary is Brian Papineau squirting the water bottle?
Like, right.
I always remember that.
Well, Cliffy Fletcher up there and with
Patty
Mike
Burns,
Murphy.
Like
and,
the fist pump up to the box.
Yeah. And that was in 93. They won game seven the next round. And they played game seven the next round after that. We know what happened with Gretzky down at the Gardens, which is not as memorable because that was a sour note and it's something that we don't want to remember.
Right.
But it's still part of the Maple Leaf history. The first round when Borshevsky scored in overtime and they won and what that represented and coming off the 80s or in the early 90s and the dark period of that team, which is very similar to what this team's going through right now. But then Gretzky in game seven, two rounds later.
Okay.
You know, it can go both ways. Remember back in 04, I think it was, game seven at the ACC when Neuendijk scored those two weak goals on Lalime. That was a big, big moment.
Yep.
But we've been on the opposite side of that. You know, so regardless of how it plays out, we're never going to forget this memory as a Maple Leaf fan.
No.
But it has the potential to supply us with something we haven't experienced in a long time. And, you know, I can put myself into the story as a Toronto radio guy. I've been doing radio in the business for about a decade now. I've experienced the Raptors in the second round. I've experienced the Argos in multiple Grey Cups, TFC in multiple MLS Cups. The Blue Jays have been to the ALCS twice. I've never been on the radio the day after the Leafs moved on to the second round. I hope I get to experience that tomorrow.
Well, you're, what, how old are you?
34.
Yeah, well, it's been 14 years. So, I mean, you were 20 years old. You were a pot-smoking college student at that point, I think.
Totally. I was a loser. Griffin.
You weren't a loser, you're a Griffin.
How old were you?
No, you were on the road to being Griffin.
I wasn't there yet.
You weren't
I was
there.
Still
what
a
was
stud.
Your situation in 02 when the Carolina Hurricanes wheeled into town?
I would have been... I think I would have been in OAC that year. That would have been the
you
end of the road.
You were popping zits in OAC.
No, I was still coming off my junior career. I was holding on to what I represented in the eyes of some, anyway. I think I was still in high school in 02. I guess I would have been. I should know that.
Were you 20 in high school?
I was 19.
I want to... let's get down to Tampa, do some shows down there. I'm into that.
Are you still in high school at 19 years old?
There's OAC here. They're grade 13 in Ontario. Wow. I think my year...
Dude,
maybe...
I find that so bizarre because I was starting my pro career at the same age.
Yeah, I know.
It's scary.
You're in the NHL, and I'm
and
like skipping class.
And you're trying to pass
how
classes.
How come it doesn't translate? Why is there a grade 13?
Well, they got rid of it. They don't have
it
anymore.
Well, of course they should get rid of it. It's a waste of time.
I know. I don't know why we had it. We did. They're 5 years of high school in
Holy
Ontario. Lazy.
Smokes.
Laziness
well, there
in
you
Ontario.
Go. Contributes to
yes.
laziness,
it
for
does.
Sure. Get
it
out in the real world and do something instead of... float around in high school.
I know. They got rid of it. I think either I was the final one in OIC,
really?
Maybe the year after me. Maybe the 1984 birthday was the final year.
Well, we can't have any laziness tonight.
No way.
I don't
I
think there
wait.
Will be. I
it's
going to
be a great
be
night.
I don't think it'll be a lazy night tonight.
How are you feeling about it tonight?
You know me. I don't have an allegiance. If Toronto's going to win... I've said this. They've got to find a slightly different formula. They
Jamie, answer the question.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Who you got the feeling about?
Here's. I'm concerned because I think Freddie Anderson has faced a lot of rubber, and if he has an off night, they're in trouble.
Yes.
If he holds up, I think they can win.
Well, there's
you
no
didn't
doubt
pick
they,
a team though.
I know,
they can
I'm not
win.
Picking a team.
Well,
I told you the other day when you had my feet to the fire. Double overtime, either Connor Brown or Ryan Donato. I don't think Donato's
or
playing.
Or as he's
now.
Called now, Brown Cow.
Brown Cow. That's a ridiculous nickname.
Yeah,
too.
That doesn't. Who would come up with that nickname?
I think Babcock was calling him that today.
Yeah, he was.
So
he
if you're going by my logic, Donato's not in the game, so it's Brown double over.
So it has to be the Maple Leafs. I'll put you down as the Maple Leafs in double OT.
No, well, I did say Boston will win the series, though. But I don't want to be in this because people are, like, all over you. And, like, you know what I want? I want the Maple Leafs to play well tonight.
Yeah.
And I think they're capable of doing it, and it's a coin flip for me. And it has been since the start of the series, 50-50. These are two good teams.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what we predict, what anybody right. predicts. It doesn't matter if you got your hair cut today and you haven't.
Remember
earlier,
that, because I think there are lunatics that are going to sit
that.
There on the edge of the couch and not take a leak because the Leafs scored the previous play, and no, they need my luck.
That's the way it goes, man. Fans are a night like tonight, like this is a special night. Like how many game sevens have we had in Toronto? Not many for the Leafs. I mean, really, they're over the course of their history, over the course of the past 30 years, I don't know, what, 7 or 8 game sevens, maybe 10 game sevens? And the beauty of it is, Nobody else is playing in the league. Every hockey fan, hockey player, hockey coach, executive, they're tracking one game tonight, and it's a true opportunity for this team, this core of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Riley, Zaitsev, Anderson, Babcock, Shanahan, to take that next step, to win a big game tonight. And I don't know what the value of experience is, but we know Boston has more of it. I don't know what the value of having home ice is, but we know Boston has it.
I think when we talk about things being a coin flip, I think a game seven is the ultimate coin flip. You've gone back and forth, one home games, one road games, and then it's just one and done.
That's why I know people don't want to hear this, but it could be overtime tonight.
If it happens,
don't
it happens.
Keep me here too long, but I wouldn't mind a 5-minute overtime.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm here with you as well. I just think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be like a 6-1 game. I think it's going to be a tighter game. And, you know, safe game to start off with, both teams kind of feeling each other out. And then big boys playing well. But I still come back to, I think we're going to be looking at somebody farther down, the Borchevskis. We're going to look at it's a Brown, it's a Kapanen, it's a Danton Hine, and it's
Corrali or something.
I like to think, Jamie, that it's going to be Brad Marchand or Austin Matthews that
makes for a better hit after the game. You're right, and maybe that's a possibility. But here's the one thing, this is a moment. But it's not the moment, because if the Leafs make it through the next round, you're like, okay, we need the next big moment.
Absolutely. Put yourself in that position to do it. I mean, that's the beauty of it. You can reset.
Right.
You know, you get through it, you reset, you start all over again.
Because Borchevsky's goal, that wasn't like first round, was it?
Yeah, it was the first round.
It was the first round?
It was game seven, overtime against Detroit.
Yeah. Toronto went into Detroit and got just destroyed in the first two. Then I believe they came home, won the next two.
They won the next three, and then they lost game six and won game seven. And I believe, I might have this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was game one. Game one of the next round against St. Louis. Guess who scored in overtime to win that game?
Dougie Gilmore. And there was a quick turnover. There was only all the series they had went seven games, and they had one day off, start again. One day off, start again.
They played 21 games in 42 nights. Well, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. That was the old school when you didn't share buildings and TV.
Dougie was just crushing.
They used to play back-to-back games, too, back then.
They did that 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Well, that
2013?
Was because of the lockup. Right?
I know, but could you imagine? Like, I don't know if we truly embraced how strange that felt 5 years ago, where the Leafs, I was in the building, game six at the ACC. Mm-hmm. The Leafs won that to push it to seven. We came in and did the show the next day, and we're like, do we look back on the game or tee up game seven tonight?
Pretty much had to turn it around quick because it's that big of a scenario.
Well, but you're in a position where you start teeing up the next game, but I don't know.
I like the games not spaced out that much. I feel like we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting to get the playoffs going, waiting for these games. Like, you know, finally the schedule came out yesterday. Now, whoever wins starts Saturday against Tampa, whether it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 8 o'clock.
See, I like that, though. I like that from our standpoint. If the Leafs win tonight, tomorrow we come in and break down the first round,
right.
Come in Friday and start turning it over and looking ahead to the next round. I like that. You mentioned that Freddie Anderson has faced a lot of rubber early in the series, or throughout the series. We're not early into the series. We're into Game 7. I would counter that with, the top-end players on Boston have played a ton of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you compare and contrast the amount of time that Bruins' top line and Chara and McAvoy have been on the line, on the ice, compared to the Maple Leafs' top
players. I think
they've
gotten to a position where they're like, we got to make this happen. So every power play, they're like, screw it, we're staying out for 2 minutes.
That's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
And listen, I support that logic from Bruce Cassidy. When in doubt, throw on your best players.
And it pisses me off. It doesn't piss me off, but I'm thinking, I know that Babcock loves that Marner, Kadri, but I'm thinking, why in the heck is Austin Matthews not on to start every power play? He's one of the best goal scorers in the league. What, he can't play with that unit?
He's not going to start tonight.
I get it, but it's just, I was talking to a pro scout about it, and he's like, yeah, it's crazy to think that 34 sits, the amount of time he does, the way he shoots the puck, and the way he scores. It's like, Boston gets a power play, their heater unit's going over.
Yeah. But this is the payoff tonight for Babcock, for him being committed to the way that he's always coached, where you roll over your four lines, you roll over your 3D pairings, you don't overcommit or overplay. This should be the payoff tonight, where you should have guys that are fresh. You're a younger team. Your top dogs are. Their top dogs are younger. Like Matthews is obviously younger than Bergeron. I'm talking about the guys who are going to play.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, okay, Corrali, Heinen, those guys are younger. I get it. But I'm talking about the big guys. Like Riley's a lot younger than Chara.
Right.
So I'm curious to see the coaching matchup tonight. I'm curious to see if Babcock decides to double shift guys when he hasn't been prone to do that in the past.
Well, listen, there's nothing to save it for.
No, and you got 2 days off
That's
afterwards anyway.
But it doesn't matter. You can't look forward to Saturday.
No, of course
Neither
not.
One of these teams are like, oh, we got to save this guy in case we make it through.
No, you hammer.
There is no tomorrow.
There is. This is the Rocky. This is there is no tomorrow. Because that's the truth, you know?
Well, it's a massive night here in Toronto because you got Leafs Bruins, you got Game 5 down at the ACC. You can hear the game right here on TSN Radio tonight. TSN 1050, Leafs Bruins, only right here on TSN 1050. You can listen to the Raps game on News Talk 1010
tonight. There will be a yes guy, no guy coming your way in 2.5 hours, and it will be fantastic.
You think the mustache will be fired up?
Oh, my goodness. His mustache is just...
It's blue.
Tingling.
Yes,
right
it
now.
Is.
He dyed it blue.
It's jet blue.
Jet blue.
Jet blue.
He dyed it blue.
It's as blue as you can get it. He's ready for the game tonight. It's his version of face paint.
That's true.
If he, a blue
what if
mustache.
The Tatman came in with a blue mustache today.
The new dark guy.
He's ready to go. So it's a big game tonight. The Jays are playing. TFC's playing. I got a poll question up on Twitter.
It is a brilliant. I'm going to say this. It's a brilliant poll question.
This is the closest vote we've ever had this early into the process with this many votes. Okay, so the question I'm posing to people on Twitter, at HayesTSN, when you're watching a big game, what is the worst type of quote-unquote guy to be around? 34% of the vote. Piss drunk guy.
That's my guy. That's the one I voted on.
34% play-by-play guy.
That's my guy. I cannot stand the guy that never shuts up. It's like, there's a guy on TV getting paid for that. Shut up.
When they're like a habitual question asker too, like, what happened there? It's like, I don't know, man. I'm watching the game like you. Wow. I don't know what Babcock was thinking, but just come on now.
I think all of us the same. When we're watching a game, we don't want to be communicating with basically anybody.
No, not really.
And let alone ourselves.
And 32% fan of opposing team. Like, that would be tough if you're watching the Bruins, Leafs tonight with a Bruins fan, an obnoxious Bruins fan.
Dude.
That would be my vote if the Leafs were getting smoked. Like, if the Leafs were getting beat up, that would be in very, very difficult to go through because he'd be so loud and obnoxious, and he'd turn into piss drunk.
Both
guy.
Sides are obnoxious. That's the truth.
Of course,
like,
they are.
That's the
beauty of being a
fan.
They
cheer for their team. It's just what annoys me is I just trying to watch the game. So all three of those, if there was a D all of above, that is my check mark.
Here's why I wouldn't vote piss drunk guy, because that was my initial reaction. Sometimes a guy gets so bombed, he turns into Phil from Wayne's World, and he's like a garden gnome in the corner. So if he's so drunk that he isn't even responsive.
Yeah, the drunk guy I don't mind, because usually he gets so drunk he can't talk.
Yeah,
but doesn't want to.
No, but piss drunk guy with an opinion.
I know.
Those are guys that you just can't stand because they don't know private space. Because they're leaning into you, breathing all over you, and then telling you how things are. Let me tell you how things are. No.
Oh,
get the hell out
if
of here.
If they lose tonight, you got to trade Austin Matthews.
Yeah, like okay, they've got you. Their opinion. Like, take a lap.
Yeah, I think I'd vote play-by-play guy, too. I think I would.
Yeah, it's...
Play-by-play
they're
guy.
They're the worst.
Play-by-play guy.
No, so what? Define play-by-play guy. They're moving the puck around on the power play. Oh, you got to move that.
Yeah.
Get it back to the D. Shoot! What?
Shut up, please.
They know when to shoot or when not to.
And even if they don't, I'm trying to concentrate on the game because if they do shoot, I want to focus on that.
Back to the point. Shoot. Shoot. Well, Matthews is open. I should have got it to Matthews. Did you see that there?
Yeah.
You should have got it to Matthews there. Oh, get it out. Get it out, Gardner.
That's why I don't say
whoa.
Stands.
I know. It's like golf lesson guy. Like golf lesson guy when you're like, oh, dude, you got to slow the swing down. Actually,
how about I wrap my 2-iron around your neck? Dude, there was an insane story. Two buddies were golfing somewhere, and the guy started disobeying the rules on the golf course. His best friend stabbed him.
That was in Australia.
Stabbed him.
I know
and
that.
Is now being charged with attempted murder.
Oh, he's going to jail.
Yeah.
He only got 20 months. We talked about that a week or two ago.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you were here for that, too.
You were. It was a Rafalski situation.
Did I say Rafalski?
It was. You actually chimed in on it because you said, like, on the golf course. You told a story on the golf course of how that could happen.
I'm pretty sure, too. But you're right. It was bad etiquette, and the guy was like, well, I don't care. In fact, I care enough to stab you. And he stabbed the guy.
He went to his truck.
Went to his truck, got a knife, tried to stab one guy who got out of the way, stabbed the other guy, hit an artery, and the guy had to jump in an air ambulance to the hospital to survive.
Gritty.
There are a lot of different people that are writing in different guys that are tough to be around for a big game. So we'll read some of these out throughout the afternoon. You can email us live at tsn1050.ca, text us 105050, or on Twitter at HayesTSN. Game 5 tonight, Raptors, Wizards. We're going to catch up with Jack Armstrong, set the scene with Jack. We got Gary Roberts on the show later in the afternoon.
Wonder how intense he is.
Jerry Roberts. Would I dare call him Jerry?
Don't. Please don't do that.
He'll come through the phone.
I'm not doing that.
He's not in studio.
No, you're not.
He would kill me. Yeah. He would kill all three of us.
Yeah.
Do you think the three of us could beat up Gary Roberts? Like, all three of us at the same time?
Yeah, we got to do the grade eight move where you kneel down behind him, and then I'd push him over, and then you got to sucker him a bunch of times, because he's getting up.
Yeah, he is, and he'd be mad when
he has a bad neck. I'd stomp on his neck.
That would be your move?
I saw him with half of his ear hanging off in Boston last night, running around the ice trying to kill someone.
Yeah, Gary is as tough as they can.
Half of his ear.
Pound for pound. I would never want to fight that guy.
Oh, he would kill us individually. He would destroy us.
I think all three of us he pretty much could beat, too.
I think he might be able to beat all three of us up at the same time. I really do. I don't even think that's that crazy.
He's very strong.
Yeah.
Powerful.
We're weak and soft.
Apparently him and his brother are just menaces in men's league.
But why would he even play?
I don't know.
I'm going to ask him that.
All right.
After we get through all of the stuff, I'm going to say, Gary, do you still play men's hockey?
You know what? He might not anymore because I know he's heavily involved with his kids' play, so I don't know if he has time, but he used to.
Didn't his last game, wasn't it against like that, him and Chris Draper were like...
Yeah, he almost fought Draper in the alumni game.
That was the alumni game down at BMO. He actually was hacking at Draper. And Draper, I think his initial reaction was, oh, this is funny. Yeah, I'll stick you back. And then he realized Roberts wasn't playing.
Yeah.
That's normal behavior.
Yeah, alumni game where guys are usually so hungover and they're just out there trying not to make an ass of himself. And you got a guy trying to kill you.
Who can kill you if he gets a hold
of
you.
Who enjoys killing other people.
No, thank you. So we'll catch up with Gary Roberts. We got Ray coming up. We got Jerry's percentages. And we called a couple of sports bars downtown and pretended to be a guy from out of town looking for a Phillies game tonight. So we've got audio of that just to hear what the reaction
was. That's awesome.
So we'll let you hear that as well at some point this afternoon. Maybe just after 5 we'll play that. Overdrive continues. It's a big night tonight. Game 7, Leafs Bruins right here on TSN 1050. All right, Ray's coming up in just over half an hour. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. We called a couple of sports bars downtown and recorded us calling them up and pretending to be a guy from Philly looking for the Phillies Diamondbacks game tonight. So you can imagine what the reaction was. We'll let you hear that maybe to kick off the 5 p.m. hour because we talked about that yesterday. Tonight is one of the more...
Prominent,
significant, whatever adjective you want to use, sports nights in Toronto history, in recent history anyway, because you literally have a title on the line with TFC. You literally have a series on the line with the Leafs. This is a pivotal Game 5 for the Raptors because this is put up or shut up. Prove that you're the real deal tonight. Like, I think if they lose to Washington tonight, that might be it. I'm not sure they have it in them to go down and win Game 6 and win Game 7. So it's big for them to prove that all of our concerns all year, that they are what we thought they were. A team that couldn't get over the hump. Can't get over the hump. Tonight's a massive game for them.
Massive.
And Granderson walks off for the Jays last night. Big win. Sanchez on the mound for the Jays tonight. So the Rogers Center will be packed.
I think even the Marlies are playing too.
They are. They're in Utica tonight.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Man. There's five teams playing tonight.
What kind of record do you want?
I was just going to say, is Jerry's percentage involved in this?
Yeah, Jerry, okay, I have a feeling, is going to bring it up.
We'll bring it up.
I don't know if the Marlies were included in his take.
We can add it in later.
Yeah, Jerry's a big league kind of guy, so...
Well, we love the Marlies, but we'll discuss that later. Yeah, we can't.
We'll find some hot takes on the Marlies game tonight.
For sure.
Somewhere. We'll break it down tomorrow, I'm sure. So we're going to head down to the ACC and tee up Game 5. Our buddy Jack Armstrong will join us in 2 minutes. Big night tonight in the city. Massive night if you're a sports fan. And we have a poll question up on Twitter, at HayesTSN. When you're watching a big game, what's the worst type of guy to be around? 35% of the vote coming in, play-by-play guy. 33% fan of the opposing team. And 32%...
They're not it because you just don't go sit beside them. You move.
Well, for argument's sake, okay, and for the hypothetical poll question that we're throwing out, let's pretend like you can't walk away
from them. Yeah, you can't get away from them because you're locked into a seat and he's right behind you.
Right, exactly.
Screaming in your ear what he thinks the team needs to do.
And 32% pissed drunk guy.
That's my guy.
32%, so they're in last place right now. It's a close vote.
I voted on that one. Okay. I have to be honest, just because I get annoyed by people who get liquid courage and then want to just spout off and be...
That's going to happen a lot tonight. Game 5 down at the ACC. You can hear it on News Talk 1010 tonight. Raptors, Wizards, and here's our buddy Jack Armstrong. How you doing, Jack?
Guys, can I have a vote in a fourth category?
Yes.
People that don't actually know sports. How about like standing with people that don't know hockey or don't know basketball or don't know baseball or football or whatever sport they're watching, and they're giving you opinions? And they might be in all those categories that you mentioned, but a lot of times it's just complete obliviousness.
Yeah, that is pretty brutal.
We don't even want to talk to anybody, period, Jack. Like, it's just watch the game and enjoy it and be quiet. I hate that.
I'm with you.
Yeah, you're right, though. The guy who has no idea but is willing to chime in on every detail.
And, Jack, do you not find, like, doing your job or my... Like, I find when I'm done my job of talking for a living, I don't want to talk to anybody after work. Like, I'm quiet. I don't want to talk to anyone.
Well, I'd much rather talk hockey or baseball or football or something other than this, you know, like, just to get away from it a little bit, but... But as you know, it all comes back to what we do, which is all—it's all good.
It's
digging ditches, right?
Oh, it's amazing, man! And tonight's going to be so much fun. There's so much going on in the city, and obviously, you're going to be down at the ACC for Game 5 tonight. And this is, needless to say, such a pivotal game. But I mean, this is a put up or shut up type game. It's not a Game 7. It's not a must win technically, but They have been trying to prove to people all year that they have this new culture, a new style of play, and they're prepared to prove that they can go on a longer run than they ever have. And they find themselves in a familiar position to the one that they've found themselves in a lot over the past few years.
Yeah, I just came in here today, though, with a different feeling than I did maybe in past years. I feel confident in how they've played at home. I feel confident in the fact that they've earned the right to have home court. And I just think that this team haven't lost three games in a row all year. And they seem to find the answer, and they muster up a great effort when the proverbial backs it to the wall a little bit right now. So I think that they'll come out tonight ready to go, and they're playing an outstanding opponent. It's going to be a really difficult game, but I think they're prepared for the challenge.
I'm with you, and I think Dwayne Casey is prepared for that himself tonight. When you look at the matchup and you look at the backcourt in particular, that's been so much of the focus so far. Who do you think has had the upper hand through four games? Is it Wall and Beal, or would you suggest it was DeMar and Kyle?
It depends on where the game is. I think the best player in the series has been John Wall, no question. And I think, at home, I thought that the Raptors as a team were better, and Washington as a team was better because of the brilliance of Wall and Beal. But I would say if I had to evaluate which backcourt, I would give an upper hand to Washington. But that's a bigger part of their team's personality right now. I think for the Raptors, as good as DeRozan and Lowry are, their identity is as a group, strength in numbers. And on the road, we didn't see that And that created a dynamic where now you have DeRozan trying to do too much, Lowry trying to do a little too much. And I also think they got to look long and hard at their substitution pattern and usage of players. If you look at a guy like Jonas Valanciunas, the Raptors are plus 23 in this series when he's on the floor, and they're minus 31 when he's off. Now, look, he's an awkward-looking player. He has challenges defensively, but the last time I checked, you're supposed to outscore the other guy by at least one. So even if it doesn't look good, it doesn't look pretty. If you're winning more so than losing, then I think you ride your better players, and sometimes you got to find schemes to hide your good offensive players because they give you so much to your collective offense. He gives you strength, toughness, offensive rebounding ability. He's your best finisher in screen and roll. He shoots free throws well. He can make an open three. And he's experienced and he's tough as nails. Yeah, his strength, his weakness is in two-man sequences. He struggles guarding. And I get all that. But the bottom line is, in the first four games, if I'm Scott Brooks, I'd rather the Raptors play without him than with him. And in the fourth quarter the other night, he didn't play, and they lost the fourth quarter. And, you know, that might be simplistic, but again, I think that he's a guy that they got to look long and hard at and find ways to keep him on the floor because their team collectively is more effective when he plays.
Well, Valanciunas and his usage has always been a hot topic, and he's one of the all-time great first quarter in the playoff performers. I mean, it seems like he's got a double-double after 12 minutes every single game he plays in, and he never ends up being a factor in the fourth, and that's on Casey. And I think that's just him committing to what he's done in the past and committing to the energy of guys like Siakam and Poeltl or what have you. But I'm with you, and I am curious to find out how they play tonight. Not only the usage, I found it interesting that you know they pointed out the past couple of days they only attempted 18 threes, which isn't crazy considering Washington only attempted 17. But I'm a little bit fearful they're going to go out of their way to shoot from beyond the arc tonight and maybe force it a little bit. Do you have those concerns?
I think give Washington credit. I thought they really did a good job chasing them off the line a little bit. There were a number of instances. I can think of a few from DeLon Wright, Serge Ibaka, that they were hesitant and didn't shoot and got rid of it, a little hot potato action. Oh, they just weren't prepared when the ball was in flight to them. And again, your high-end players always play well no matter where the game is. The guys that fall into the middle range and the lower range, or particularly inexperienced guys, they're better at home than they are on the road. And I think that was the case in point in Washington the last two games. I feel confident that those guys will be more in a comfortable place. And you know, let's face it, this team really has missed Fred VanVleet the first four games. Their turnover numbers are up. Well, you know, that's one less guy on the floor who's a really good playmaker, ball handler, decision maker. By the way, a series you really need all your good perimeter defenders. He hasn't played, and that hurts you. And I think that it hurts your entire offense and another shot maker. So, you know, again, I don't know what his status is for tonight, but he's definitely a guy that's of major importance to their team because I would argue that he's probably in the top five in terms of your best players overall this season.
Game 5 tonight down at the ACC. You can hear it on News Talk 1010. We look forward to it. Enjoy it. Thank you, Jack.
Oh, by the way, it's on TSN TV, too, so
yeah,
a little shameless plug there.
So. All right, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
That's our company, too. We can support that.
Yeah, I'm working, so. But have a great night. This is Sports Nirvana tonight.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Enjoy it, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
There's Jack Armstrong on TSN tonight, in the TFC match as well tonight.
Great man.
So.
We love Jack.
Yeah, Jack's a good man, and the ACC, we expect it'll be rocking tonight. You know, Dwayne Casey was campaigning for that yesterday. But there'll be a lot of distracted people down there, too, tracking the Leaf game and Blue Jay game. TFC match begins at 9:30, so I don't think people are necessarily concerned about that and how it's going to factor into the other timing.
How's the weather supposed to hold up? It's kind of crappy outside.
It's been awful today. I don't think it's supposed to be that nice tonight. People are still going to get down there.
Oh, they're going to get down there regardless.
Yeah, but it'll be a packed house at Maple Leaf Square.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun night. Like, it has the potential to be one of the more positive and memorable nights in Toronto sports recent history. But it could go the opposite way, and all of a sudden...
50-50.
You know, fans in this city, regardless of who you're tracking the most, won't necessarily be happy tomorrow. So we're teeing up all of the games tonight. More of a focus on Game 7, Leafs-Bruins. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Pre-game at 7, puck drop at 7:30. All right, so we called a couple of bars downtown. We're not going to announce which bars we called. And I played the role of a guy who just flew in from Philly and wanted to find out if I could get the Phillies Diamondbacks game tonight on one of the TVs, preferably the big screen.
How do you think that went?
Well, we'll let you hear it in the 5 p.m. hour, okay? We'll start the 5 p.m. hour because this is one of the biggest sports bar nights of all time in Toronto. Like, I wish it was a Friday or a Saturday.
Yeah, Wednesdays, and the weather being crappy kind of puts a slight damper on it, but people don't care.
People are getting out. People will get out tonight.
Yeah.
You have to, right? If you work downtown, anywhere you are in the city, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're in the GTA, throughout the country,
yeah.
I know a lot of people don't want to admit that Toronto is their focal point, but how can it not be tonight? How can it not be? I mean, I did a radio interview in Edmonton today. I did one in Vancouver yesterday.
Yeah.
Even out there, and those are towns you're familiar with, they would rather not talk about Toronto or focus on Toronto. They're in a position where they're relegated to it because they don't have another choice.
Right.
There's one hockey game in the world tonight.
Yep, that's true.
And it's one game seven, and even the Raptors game is big. The Blue Jay game is big. TFC, so Toronto owns the sports scene throughout the country tonight.
I agree. And it can go one way or the other or go down the middle. We've got four games. A fifth if you add the Marlies in. So you can come in here with a 5-0. You can come in a 0-5. You can come in with 2-3. Who knows?
I think the Marlies are going to get a win tonight. I feel good about the Marlies.
Okay, so you got one on the board already.
We'll do this at 5:30. Yeah, I think exactly. Jerry's going to lay it on the line for us.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know if the Marlies will come up in Jerry's take.
Well, they Jerry just focuses on, unfortunately, the big four.
Yeah, he big times the American Hockey League.
Yeah.
All the time. So I don't know if he'll focus on the Marlies, but I do feel good about them winning tonight. But as for the other four teams going, we'll lay a percentage on the line at 5:30. That would be one hell of a pro line ticket. A lot of people have actually been playing them and taking pictures and sending them to me.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, Hayes, you got to get on board tonight. Bet the Leafs, the Raptors, the Jays, and TFC. Because it would pay a lot of money. The Leafs are dogs, and actually pretty significant dogs. Like, I was a bit surprised by how Vegas has this. They had Boston at, like, minus 170 favorites.
Right.
The Raptors are favored tonight. With Sanchez on the mound, I'm not sure where the Jays stand, but the Red Sox
won
probably,
last night.
They won last night. They walked off. TFC, I don't know. Like, they're in a tough spot down in Mexico. But we'll try to get to the bottom of that, what that ticket would pay off, and maybe we'll play it. Maybe I'll go play it. So, Ray's coming up, Jerry's percentages, and we called a couple of bars pretending to be a guy from Philly looking for the Phillies Diamondbacks game tonight. We'll let you hear that audio next.